morning. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thank you for checking in. We haven't gotten caught up with you in the last couple of months as things have been awfully, awfully busy. And obviously one of the things that is on everybody's top of the mind is the awful tragedy, the terrorist incident in San Bernardino County, California, as 14 Americans lost their lives needlessly. We saw President Obama come out on Sunday night and give a speech and talk about some things that he thought Congress could help make these incidents not happen perhaps in the future. Tell us your thoughts on what we've seen, and are Hoosiers and other Americans safe moving forward?
Well, I wish I could say we lived in a perfectly safe world, but we don't. We never have. But currently, there are threats to our safety and security that have exceeded the norm. And a lot of this is the result of I think the use of social media by ISIL to help people learn about ISIS and ISIL, and they some self-radicalize. Some of this is directed from them. We know that. The situation in California is a tragedy, of course. But what we really worry about are those people who have essentially are citizens of the United States or are living in the United States legally, who get on online or go to mosques or whatever and radicalize themselves or get directions on how to build a bomb or how to obtain a weapon. And are told and buy into this jihadist narrative that they can find their way to peace and calm and glory in their life, in an afterlife, if they just are willing to sacrifice themselves for the cause of ISIL and the cause of this perverted theology that's taking place in the Middle East. And so the most difficult issue to deal with is someone who is living a life that is doing nothing to send out alarm signals, yet is comes to the point at which they then take up this so-called cause and do what happened in California. And that's the hardest to detect. We need to use every law enforcement tool that we have and can to try to protect this. But the age that we're living in right now leaves us in a more precarious position. I hate to say that. I would love to be able to say, yes, Americans don't have to worry about anything. We are safe. We need to be vigilant. And we need to be aware that there are people out there that want to do a lot of bad things.
Senator Dan Coats is our guest this morning, Republican senator from Indiana. And Senator Coats, President Obama, in his speech on Sunday, did he lay out a roadmap or some groundwork where people should feel safer? Or do you think there's still more things that need to be done?
I think what the president hasn't done is lay out a very clear strategy for in terms of how we're going to go to the heart of the problem. The president talks about around the fringes, but the heart of the problem is this growing cancer of ISIL that is spreading into other countries and spreading across the social media and targeting people through the social media to do evil things and to buy into their narrative. And you're not going to solve this problem unless we go to the source of the problem. It's like standing on the bank of a river and people keep floating down there, the river in danger, and we go out trying to rescue them, but somebody says, well, why don't we go up the river and find out who's pushing them in the river in the first place? And so the strategy that the president has used to try to address ISIL has not succeeded. And they continue to expand their reach, and their reach expands into, unfortunately, the computers and the social media network of people in the United States or Europe and around the world that are buying into this stuff.
And so what would your suggestion, sir, be into taking care of this problem at the source? Because I haven't heard anything solid from anyone, and it sounds like you have some things in mind, and I'm curious as to what they are.
Well, I have said from the very beginning that unless the moderate Muslims, the Muslims who have been victims of ISIL, step up into the fray here and deal with this, we're not going to solve it. We've learned that we cannot just send invasion forces over there to Iraq and Afghanistan, and in this case to this new situation with ISIL, and successfully deal with this problem. And so that will take a coalition of the world's nations, but I think the boots on the ground have to be moderate Muslim boots, dealing with this issue of the perversion of their religion and dealing with this issue of killing anybody of that, even of that faith, that simply won't apply, concede to the Sharia law and concede to the radical jihadism that is taking place. And we need to put pressure on those countries to step up into the fray here. We can support that. We have the intelligence, we have the reconnaissance, we have the ability to train and equip, but we don't have the commitment to, and we shouldn't, to send another invasion force over there to deal with it. But it has to be dealt with, and it needs to be done through a coalition of effort.
Senator Dan Coats is our guest this morning, the Republican from the great state of Indiana. Donald Trump seems to have a solution to this problem. Just shut the door, and anybody that's of Muslim background, you can't come in ever again. That doesn't seem to be the most intelligent way of fixing this problem, but it sure gets a lot of play in the press. I know you can't possibly agree with the wannabe president's thoughts on that.
Well, Donald Trump seems to have a solution for everything, but he never gives any details. He has a solution for immigration on the southern border. He said, build a wall. We already have a wall. We have a triple wall down there. I went down there for 3 days, and I was told by the Border Patrol, I was in charge of that at the time, to the Appropriations Committee for their funding. They said, we've discovered over 1,000 tunnels. I said, what are all these patches in the fence and these breaches in the wall? They said, oh, well, they come out at 2 a.m. at night, and they go through, and then we go out and patch it, and then they break through the next night. And that's just one example, but it's one thing to just throw out something and say, well, I'll fix it because that's what I do. And then when we ask them, how is this going to happen? He says, because it's going to happen. I'm going to make America great again, and that's all I need to say. So there needs to be some substance behind some of his sayings. And I've also, in the case of no Muslims coming in, how are you going to shut down the Internet? Because a lot of this self-radicalization takes place over the Internet. So you've got a kid in a dorm room or someone in their basement or someone in their home on the Internet being radicalized by ISIL. That has nothing to do with bringing people in. Of course, we need to vet and make sure that no one comes into this country that is a threat to our country.
Do we make that difficult enough right now, Senator? Do we have enough?
You got to start thinking about a lot of other ways in which people are conjuring up bad things to do, and Donald doesn't address that kind of stuff.
Do you think we have those pieces in place right now of scrutinizing people that do come into our country to make sure that their visas are properly filled out or their paperwork is properly done? We know that it's a little bit tougher in other parts of the world. Is that something that we have covered or something we need to do down the road?
Well, I think it's something that needs to be really assessed and approved. I've been on top of this for more than a year, basically saying that there's a hole in our visa waiver program, and we need there's 38 states that qualify. The House just passed yesterday legislation that's similar to what I've been authoring with a couple of others here in the Senate. We hope to reconcile those two pieces that basically take a full assessment of where we are, tighten this thing up, and if countries aren't 100% capable of doing what the requirements are for making sure people qualify, then those countries are dropped from the visa waiver program. I've also tried to address these who are Americans here who are connecting with ISIS and have sold out to ISIS, basically saying it's an act of treason. We need to not only take their passports away from them. We need to have adjudication on the question of whether or not they are treasonous to the United States and address that. So I think there are things we need to do to make sure that our visa waiver program and any other program that vets people coming here gives us the best assurance we can that these people are not coming here for the wrong reason.
What are your thoughts about the various governors of states who have said that they don't want any Syrians coming to their states, including our own governor?
Well, the FBI director and the director of Homeland Security have basically said there are some issues that we need to look at to tighten this up. And I think these 30-some states that have basically said, okay, let's just take a pause right now until we get this right. There obviously are people that have been subjected to some very bad things. Many of these people are not connected in any way with terrorism. I think we want to be helpful there. But I think it's reasonable to say, given the fact that our leaders of our national security are saying they need to tighten up some of these things, let's give them an opportunity to do that before we just rush to judgment on this.
Senator Dan Coats is our guest this morning. The federal highway bill, it's going to provide more than $5 billion for Indiana, so that's some good news. Tell us what we need to know about that.
Well, that's a good, we needed a piece of good news, didn't we?
Absolutely right. We're going to end on a positive note.
After a number of years, and I don't know why it takes all this long, but after a number of years, we've finally come to the point where we have put some certainty into the highway program. And returning money collected through the gas pump by states and then sent back to them for road construction. And Indiana is going to benefit significantly now from a five-year guaranteed plan to get about $5 billion into our road system. And that's going to be a great benefit to repairing bridges and paving roads and developing our system. We have I-69. I know it's somewhat controversial in the Bloomington area. Hopefully that can be worked out successfully. But there's a number of other projects in the state that have been waiting for this to answer. And the good news is we've come together and we passed this. The president signed it, and the money will be there.
And $5 billion that's a solid piece.
That's going to be wonderful.
Piece of investment to get things moving in the right direction on our streets. And ironically enough, today the Bloomington end of I-69 will be open this afternoon. There's a ribbon cutting on the south part of I-69 Section 4 near Crane today, so we wanted to make sure we got that in there before we let you get back to work, Senator. As always, we appreciate your time. Don't be a stranger. And again, thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you. I appreciate being on your program.